Good morning, church. Good morning. If you could find yourself a seat, we'll get this time together, get started. Welcome, everybody. Hey, it is good to see you all. I want to start our time out with a story, if you don't mind. I just love it when God works in and among us and how he is moving. And so it was Saturday morning, and I received a phone call from Emily DeVries, who was going to be our worship leader today. And she said, "I'm sick." And I said, "Oh, now I'm sick." And so anyways, I went into a mode of Lord, who are you calling to lead us in worship? And so I called everybody I could think of. And this is the interesting story. I called, if some of you remember, John Ermatinger. And he said, "Oh," he said, "I would love to, but I'm in Wichita, driving out west." We had a nice talk, and I think we're going to get back together again after they get back and just get caught up together. So, you know, just God does all kinds of things. Well, I ran out of resources and didn't know what to do next, so I started working toward me leading you in worship. And Danny, I know, you all just, "Oh, seriously? That would have been wonderful." No, it wouldn't have been. Yeah, I didn't call you. But anyways, and so Sue had called a couple that had been going to our church periodically by the name of Stephen and Hannah Harrison. And they're just a wonderful couple, and I just really believe that God has something in mind for them in connection with our church. But anyways, Hannah called her cousin slash sister, Noelle, and John and Noelle said, "Yes, we'll come." And so out of the blue, they came. Now, this isn't the amazing part of the story. The amazing part of the story is I met them originally on July 4th of this year, as I met Hannah's family, and I got to meet these two people. And they have an amazing story of going to places they said they'd never go, but God answered the question. But you didn't say, "I'll never go to the pier," and so I'm really glad of that. And so welcome up front here, and why don't you come and get yourselves ready. And God obviously has something in mind for today. And so as we get the chance to worship him together, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're struggling with today, know that your God has been working behind the scenes, preparing us to worship him. And so let us do that. Let me just open up with prayer as we get this time to going. Father in heaven, thank you for the fact that that you're working behind the scenes all the time because you desire your people to come together and worship. Father, I pray that today that will be so seen in somebody's heart today that they'll walk out not knowing John and Noel, not knowing Wayne, but knowing that Jesus Christ was here amidst us. And that's the most prevalent thing they walk away with. We love you, Lord. We believe in you. We trust you. And we give you this time. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Stand with me as we start worship. Stand.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. In your presence, all our
You all may take a quick seat. My name is Dandy, and I'll get us started with some announcements today. Just a reminder, there's no praise gathering this Sunday. And today's also the last day to sign up to attend Mark and Mary's wedding. So if you're meaning to sign up and you haven't done it yet, go up to the front desk. We also have something new starting this Wednesday, and it's at a different time than usual. So 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays, we're starting an 8-week Bible study, viewing through the Chosen. It's that series, The Chosen, and then following it, we'll have questions and Bible study following that. So this starts this Wednesday, so just put that into your calendar, and it will be awesome, awesome time. We are having a table at the Kalispell Community Festival Friday, 4:30 to 7 p.m. And so if you are interested in helping out and just being a friendly face, someone that's talking to the community and represent the pier, Shelly is the person you want to talk to. Her number and email are on the paper on the front. And I noticed the word urgently here. So doc volunteers urgently need volunteers. Not doc volunteers. The doc building, the doc ministries. You got to volunteer with the for the volunteers. Anyway, hopefully you know what I'm talking about. They just need volunteers. So just if you have been prayerfully considering, this would be a great time so that they can open this building to the kids in this community. So one more thing before I go. I'm calling up Clarice. Oh, there you are. So last time I was up here, we had Patty Rich talking about Sunday School Helper, but Clarice is going to talk to you a little bit about Sunday School teachers. We're doing a volunteer roundup, so we're inviting everyone to get involved, as we are short on volunteers. And Clarice, tell us about Sunday School.
Sunday School is wonderful. I find that as a teacher for Sunday School, you have to research. I even go through the Bible stories over again. I think, oh, I never realized this was in it. And it deepens your knowledge. And also, it deepens your creative senses. I love to act out things and think of ways that the children will really connect to the story and apply it to their lives. This morning I came in and Jaden, where's Jaden? He's not here yet. There he is. Okay. And Jaden was wearing this cap and it says, Jesus is my boss. And I asked him, I said, is Jesus your boss? And he said, yes. I said, do you love Jesus? And he said, yes. And that makes your heart thrill when you can have a child come up to you. And I was reading in the Bible over here about what Jesus said about children. If I can find it again, I had it. Anyway, oh, here it is. He put a little child among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also my Father who sent me. So we have to remember that these children are going to grow up in a situation, in a society that is very, very hard. And if we can instill them the love of God while they are young, maybe they'll neglect it for a while, but they'll remember it. And they'll come back. And so I just encourage anyone who is interested. Yeah, you don't have to be a professional. You don't have to. All you have to do is love little kids.
Okay. Thank you so much, Clarice. Thank you. So that is what we do for Sunday School teachers. And if you're interested, Lori is the head of that. But also, I know Teresa isn't here this week, but we have forms to fill out. We do make sure everyone goes through background checks. We check through all the people that work with our kids. But those are some of the opportunities we have at the pier. So thank you.
Why don't you just stand up and let's continue to worship. Oh, I was going to sit down.
didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, love was greater. What could separate? Death could not hold you, and the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave, and the heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again.
You believe in the name of Jesus? Give him a hand offering. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today is the day for the Ukins in front of us. I probably should have had Chuck just preach, but if God chose me to preach today, then that's fine. But Chuck, why don't you come up, and we are starting our Casa Dorca Christmas, and so Chuck is here to announce that. So excited about it.
Before I do that, I noticed in the announcements that there was an appeal for volunteers for this Friday, Kelloggsville Pride Days. What hour does it start? You remember?
4:30.
Well, about 7 years ago, I think it was the first time that the pier had a table at that celebration. And Clarice and I were roaming around, kind of thinking about a different church or whatever, and we went to the Pride Days. And I can still remember Bob and Carol sitting behind this table. And so we got to talk with them, and that was the beginning of not totally the beginning, but kind of like the beginning of a relationship that has never stopped. So if you would like to volunteer for that, I'd encourage you. Now, Clarice and I are heading out to the state of Washington on Wednesday, so we can't be there. I would be there otherwise, but someone has to take my place, okay? Okay, now for the Christmas shoeboxes for Casa Dorca and the orphans there. I think these are pictures of children, right? And so we're going to prepare shoeboxes with, and each about $25 to $50 for each box. And each box will be given to a child whose picture is on this tree. Now, I picked off Armina. She's 18 years old, 61 inches tall. Shirt size is large. Favorite color is white. Interest is makeup. BTS musical group. Shoe size 7.5. So these are suggested things that you can think about as far as clothing, shoes, tennis shoes, toys, according to the interest of this person. Now, as you're thinking about, please choose a box. I think there are 18 or 19 of them. And so if you think that $25 is maybe too much for you, you can join with another person. And together, the two of you can sponsor a box. If you think that that's too little for you, I'd say wait until everybody has a chance to have this blessing of sharing with somebody in Romania. And then if there's a box left over, take another one. Then you can do two boxes if the Lord touches your heart that way. So in Romania, we have a missionary by the name of Nate Storvik. He's been there several years now. He's a house parent, and he watches over, he cares for, and he interacts, and he ministers to these children in the orphanage. Now, after you've thought about an appropriate gift, we also want to encourage you to write a letter. Now, think about an orphan. It's a young person who's probably been abandoned, neglected, and maybe thinks in their heart that they are not loved or even abandoned by God. And so here we have this opportunity to write a letter. What are we going to write? I'd encourage you to think about something that you can say to their heart about the love of God, that God the Father is a father to the orphans, to the fatherless, someone who has special care for those who are in need. And as you think about that, put yourself in the place of one of these young people and write yourself a letter from God. It's in your name, obviously, but it can be a short letter. You're going to express the love of God. Now, Tim Boss, a pastor that we know and has been here a couple times, was married to a Romanian, and she would love to translate your letter into the Romanian language. So there's a couple dates here to remember. The first date is if you're writing a letter, say you choose Armina, dear Armina, tell her something. That letter should be turned in by September 26. That's coming up fast. What, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
Two weeks.
So think about it. Exactly. And the English letter and the Romanian language letter, I have a suspicion that they'll go together, so that this, you know, the English language is a great stuff, great thing for them. So they can look at the English and they can look at the Romanian and they can think about God at the same time. September 26. Now, Christmas in September. Wow. The reason we're doing it this time, this year, at this time, like $50, $60. Two boxes are not going airmail with the postal service, like $50, $60 a box to Romania. They're going to go by slow-mo boat. They have to be transported to a shipper in Chicago who will pack these things up and put them in a container. The container will go on a truck and it'll go to a port, New York or Charleston or someplace on the East Coast. The container will go on a boat. The boat will go to Amsterdam. In Amsterdam, it'll be unloaded to another truck, and the truck will get to Romania, hopefully, Lord willing, maybe in 2 months, right? Just in time to get them a present at Christmas time. So, the date to remember for that is October 17. Got that? Pick a name, find a box, shoe box. Put your present in there, $25 to $50, and bring it back by October 17. And then there's another step, and that is one of us will have to get in the car and zoom off to Chicago to deliver it. Oh, yes, there's, we got a volunteer already. But anyway. Okay, I think I've made my announcement. Any questions? These will be repeated. And okay, I'll turn it back to our brother Wade.
What about the house parents? All the students, all the orphans have been picked.
We can, yeah. If someone would like to come alongside of the house parents, Nate himself, yep, we can do that. That'd be a great idea. So shall we have a prayer over this?
Yes.
It's more than just gifts, right? It's the Spirit of God going and touching people who have been neglected and abandoned, but has not been neglected and abandoned by God. So let's do that. Heavenly Father, we come and we thank you for this. We thank you for the privilege and honor. We pray for Nate as he ministers to those precious young people in Casa Dorca. We pray that, Lord, you will be glorified there and lifted up so high that, Lord, these young people who have feel like they're alone in the world will realize that there is a Father who has never left them nor forsaken them. We love you and we trust you for this, God, and I thank you for the people that you will and are raising up to come alongside, amen, and to encourage them. We give you glory and honor in the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I do want to clarify that Kellogg'sville's, it's a celebration of the community. And so it's just a great time and be a great time for us to get together with them. And so just come alongside, get involved in your community. And now children, ages 4 years old to third grade, go with your teachers and blessings with you. And also the junior hires are going with Josiah. And so blessings to you guys as you go with your teachers. For the rest of us, we get the opportunity to give our gifts and our offerings to the Lord. Let's do that now.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy
who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is. Sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you. Filled with wonder, struck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
I will adore you.
Is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Heavenly Father, we come in your presence, and we adore you. There is nobody in this room worthy of your worship than you. We give you all the praise and honor. Our lives are yours. In a world that needs a leader, you are our leader. You are the one that is leading us through all the confusion, through all the mess, through all the hurt, through all the pain. You are the one leading us. Father, I pray that you will just open our hearts up. Open our hearts up to your word. Let your word reign in this place today. Lord, I have no idea where somebody is that walked in the back door, but Father, you do. And I pray, Lord, specifically for their heart right now. Lord, they're closed. They're hidden. They're afraid. They don't believe that situation that they're in can ever change. And their heart is closing in with darkness. with empty. But you broke out of that. You broke out of that cave. You broke out of that tomb. You arose from the dead. And there's nothing you can't do. Speak to our hearts today, Father. You opened your heart to us on the cross. May we open our hearts to you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. Turn with me to the book of Kings, the 19th chapter. It is 1 Kings 19. If you do not have a Bible, raise your hand, and Doug will get a Bible to you. We believe in people opening up the Word of God, whether it's through pages or through your cell phone. And if you do have a cell phone, would you do something for me? Turn it off. And let's let the voice of God be the most important sound that we hear today. Turn off the sound. Yes, thank you. Turn off the sound. Yes, the sound. Did you turn your cell phone? Oh, if you're looking on the Bible, it's okay. Somebody just turned their cell phone off and said, I don't have the Bible anymore. Yes. Are you with me? 1 Kings 19. You got it open in front of your face? Because I want you seeing the Word of God so that you can watch me. Because if I'm off the Word of God, I should not be preaching. So you are Bereans with the Word of God in front of you. We're starting with the 10th verse, and just to tell you, if we remember Elijah, Mount Carmel had happened, fire had fallen from heaven, and there was an amazing move of God amongst his people, and Ahab went home, told Jezebel, and she said to Elijah through a servant, be it to me, may the gods deal with me, be it so severely, if by tomorrow I do not make your life the same as those that you have killed. And so Elijah was afraid and he ran. And if you remember in the echoing words of God's voice in Elijah's heart as he was running, and the word of the Lord came to him and said in verse 9, what are you doing here, Elijah? And if you remember from last week, the question was that you needed to answer is, are you at a place that you should not be? Are you somewhere that you have run out of fear and you're not where you should be? Both in heart or in location. So let's go on and let's hear the word of the Lord. It says, Elijah says this. He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, tore down your altar, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he put his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. I don't know if you've thought about it this week. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? And I wondered if you've thought about Elijah at all this week. You know, Elijah's no wimp. He's no weak Christian that, you know, has just come to know the Lord. He has just walked through a very powerful time in which God revealed himself to the people. He spoke and it hadn't rained. But, and even referred to in the New Testament by Jesus and the Apostle Paul himself as a great example. And even James says that Elijah himself prayed and it stopped raining. He's no wimp. So how in the world did he land here? You know, how did he get so self-focused that he became depressed, disillusioned, and on the edge of suicide? I think this verse 10 really opens the door for us for something that we need to hear. As we hear it again, it says, I've been a very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. Can you hear the heart of a broken soldier? And maybe can you relate to his heart? In which you get to times where you just wonder what God is doing? Faith sometimes struggles in the light of these two things, benefit of God versus relationship with God. The question is so important in regards to true faith is, am I following God for what he can do for me? Or am I following God because I believe truly he is the only God in all the universe? Not a God, not an option, but the only God. And in the midst of this brokenness, in the midst of Elijah's heart, can you hear what he's saying? Where are you, God? Don't you see what I've done for you? Why hasn't own here been what I thought it should be? I'm so isolated and alone here. I'm struggling with what you told me to do because I'm experiencing the possibility of death. And I thought you were a God of life. Won't you help me? There's always a struggle in a believer's heart in the faith of, is this about benefit that God brings to my life or the beauty of a relationship? If you read the Bible for any length of time, you realize that all of the followers have struggled with this. Abraham believed in God. He was called out of a pagan history, pagan society, to follow God. He only got halfway when he went to Haran because he ran into some relatives and decided to stay there until his father died. And then he went on to Canaan. And immediately when he got to Canaan, a famine hits. And what does he do? He runs to Egypt. Egypt is always an example. Anytime you see Egypt in the Bible, it's always an example of running to the physical, running to find help in this world instead of seeking God for help. And he runs to Egypt. And then when it comes to the promise of having a promised son, he runs to his own wisdom instead of the wisdom of God. And he takes Sarah's advice and takes Hagar as his wife. And they have a son, Ishmael, that becomes the leader of the Arab people, which today we realize there's still conflict, just like God said would be. So important to know that faith in itself, and I think this is important, faith in itself is not salvation. But the channel in which God uses to bring salvation to his people. MacArthur said, although faith is required for salvation, it has no power in itself to save. It is the power of God's redemptive grace alone, working through the atoning work of his son on the cross that has the power to save. Some may say, well, Pastor, you're getting caught up in words. Faith, salvation, atonement, grace. Isn't faith and salvation really the same thing? Yes, I believe it can be. But I also believe it may not be. When someone is saying, I believe in God, what are they really saying? They could be saying, I have some knowledge of God and I'm trusting what I know. Or they could be saying, I have a relationship with God. We talk together. We spend time on our knees together. And I tell everyone every time I get a chance about this amazing God that I know because he has saved me. What does Scripture say about true faith? John 17, Jesus' own word says this, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and that Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Jeremiah 9 says this, supported by the Old Testament believers. Somebody once asked me this. They said, well, you know, I get salvation in the New Testament, but what about those people in the Old Testament? Whatever happened with them? It's always been about faith in Jesus Christ. From the beginning of time, it's always been about Jesus Christ. The Old Testament was the shadow of what they had faith to believe was going to happen. And in the New Testament is what we know has happened on the cross and that we live off of that. It has always been about Jesus Christ throughout human history. And so Jeremiah himself, he says this, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man, this is chapter 9, 23 through 24, let not the mighty man glory in his might, understands, but let him who glories in this, that he understands and knows me. Are you serious? Do you know God? Do you know God? Do you understand who he is? Has your heart been enlightened to who he is? That he is the God, Jeremiah goes on and says, who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. And 1 John 5:20 says, we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true and eternal God. Do you know him? Or do you know things about him? Listen, the life game changer is when life doesn't go your way you want it to and you think it should. That when you truly seek whether saving faith lives in your life or not, I say, I like this. The game changer is not that you know the truth, but that the truth knows you and is seeking you. Romans 3 says that no one seeks truth. Not one. And so the reality is this, that truth has sought me. And is holding me. Do you get that? That's the game changer. There's a lot of people that says, well, I know God, and they find rest somehow in the fact that they think they know something about God. But I am telling you today, does God know you? Has he sought you? Because you know what? You can't fake that. And it's not something you don't remember. You know, you remember your birth date even though you were there, but you weren't kind of there. You weren't really cognizant of there. But you know your birth date in Jesus Christ because you were there and your heart has changed for Jesus Christ. Do you know it? Because he has sought you. So what I like about Elijah, this is what I love about Elijah, is that even though he ran in fear, he ran to the mountain of God, almost 400 miles away. That's amazing. But he ran to God. Do you know who to run to? Do you know who to run to? Faith led him to God instead of unbelief that would lead him away. I had a conversation with a young man this week that was baptized among us, who's been running away from God for a while. Some of you know Andrew. And I had a conversation with him this week. Pray for him. Pray for him. God is working. God is working, but he's running. Pray for him. This young man, God is doing something. Are you running? Are you running today? So what did God do? How did he answer the question? Did he say, oh, Elijah, you've been running, and you know you're self-focused, and you don't think that I'm a God of the covenant, and you think that I'm allowing these prophets and this altar to be broken down, and that somehow I've lost control. No, he doesn't say any of those things. What does he say? Verse 11. The Lord says, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." If you're an astute reader of God, now, I think that is amazing. If you're an astute reader of God's word, you're going, right now, you're thinking to yourself, that's not the first time I heard that. Is that right? That's not the first time I've heard that. That's right. That's right. If we go back, we have to go back to Exodus 33. And it says here that in the 12th verse, it says, Moses said to the Lord, "You've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." Verse 14 says this, "The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And then later on it says that when God starts to set Moses up and he says this, he says, I am pleased with you, and I do know you by name. He says, I'm going to put you in the rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. People of God, God is your answer. The presence of God in your life is your answer. He is all-sufficient. He is all-knowing. He is everything that you need. He is the answer to your life. He is the answer to the questions that are being asked among us. Why am I sick when even the greatest miracle is happening in front of my face right now and I'm getting married at 58 years old? Why am I struggling with temptation of sin that is so horrible I don't want to tell anyone? I am so afraid I will be rejected and destroyed by it. Why, after all these years, is my marriage crumbling around me? Why is this happening in my family? I am telling you, people of God, it is the presence of God that's the answer to these questions. Because it's not what you know, it's who you know. And as you know God, he's already answered the question. But as it may seem crooked to you, it may seem not right to you, but as you continue to follow him and you give your life to him, and you let him lead you, he's the answer. I didn't know what this morning was significant until I put two things together in front of my face today. One is these dear children who were abandoned, rejected, or that parents were killed and they had no parents. And then this dear woman that's singing in front of you today by the name of Noelle, who was rejected by her mother and received by a dear family as their not only cousin, but their child, their own daughter. And I got the opportunity on 4th of July to meet this dear family that God called here to be today. People of God, do you know him? The theological term is the knowability of God. True faith reveals who God is. Matthew 11:27 says, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him." The revelation of God does not come from our own intelligence. It comes from God. And Paul agrees with it in 1 Corinthians 1:21 when he says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom does not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." And 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." So knowing God comes only from his own choice to reveal himself to us, and yet Romans 1 tells us that we are all without excuse because God has chosen to use nature itself to reveal himself to every single person, and it is only our rebellion that turns our hearts away. It's only that to which we think we need to hold on to in this world that turns us away from God. The truth is that even though there is a knowability of God, we are finite and he is infinite. And so the Bible teaches us that God is incomprehensible in this sense, that he is unable to be fully understood. Psalm 145:3 says this, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." In Psalm 139:6, it says that in response to the fact that God knows every word on our mouth, he knows every inclination of our heart, he knows every place we go, he knows where we lie down and where we stand up, he knows the things that we have kept hidden because we want to keep a sin in our life. He knows it all. And the psalmist says this, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to obtain." The amazing part of incomprehensibility is this, that for all eternity, we will continue to get to know God. In all eternity, we will never totally know him. And you know what? It's not going to be like a college class. It's not going to be like school. It is going to be like you will learn something new every day. And he is amazing. Amazingness of our God. He is awesome, and he is amazing. Do you know him? Do you know him? As I was studying, I was thinking about this. I love being a parent of an adult child. I love it. I think I love every stage, but I really love being a parent of an adult child because I get to see through his eyes, my son or my daughter's eyes, things that I would never see because they share with me and go through experience. And so yesterday we got a video, and the video was my son being pulled by he was in his boat, and he was being pulled by another boat because his boat had quit running. And so we got to go with him in the lake down in South Carolina for a little while, and he just goes, "Oh, well." And we found out, we found out that the place that he got gas in had water in its tank. And so it put water in his tank, which then killed his engine. And so, but what I love about that is that he contacts his mom and dad and says, "I want to bring you into my life a little bit and what I'm experiencing, even the hard stuff." Why is that? Not just because I know things about Ben, but because I know him. And I have an intimate relationship with my son. And so we know each other. You know, as you two are dating, God wants you not to be intimate physically so that you can be intimately in your heart. What happens with intimacy before marriage is that it never lets you see each other's heart. He wants you to see each other's heart before you receive the other blessings after you say, "I do." Does that make sense? He wants us to know each other. He wants us to know him. So true faith is, it's an experience of not just knowing things about God, but the miracle through his choice of revelation to know him. To know him. So when God calls Elijah to stand in the mount in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord's about to pass by, we read the passage of Exodus 33. And it's just that whole thing that you see in the salvation of your soul comes from our eternal benefit, but also comes not just our eternal benefit, but to glorify God. Your life was not just saved so that you could experience eternal salvation. Your life was saved so that through you, the glory of God could be seen by others. You're the light that God wants to shine through. You're the light that God wants to show the world who He is. I think that one of the greatest miracles you and I will ever know is the transformation of our hearts into a new creation. Imputed perfection through the Son of God and a growing physical living out perfection through sanctification by the new creation, living out the power of God, taking off the old man, putting on the new man, taking off the old woman, putting on the new woman is an amazing thing as God continues to grow us. Paul agrees with us. He says, for this, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. The presence of God changes everything, and the answers are not as important as the one who is the answer of the salvation of our souls. Do you get that? Do you get that? But it is interesting how God reveals himself to us and to Elijah. I'd like to ask everybody in this room, how did God reveal himself to you? How did he reveal himself? What was the life change that was the life change? How did he show himself to you? I find it interesting that in three different ways, God creates an event, but he's not in it. Why is that? Right? So he creates the first one. What's the first one? What? The wind. Absolutely. Thank you. The wind. Yes. Now, I don't know if you guys ask questions of Scripture, but I do. I ask questions of Scripture. And I think to myself, what kind of wind did it take to tear a mountain apart, to take rock and throw it? So you know what I did? I went to the National Weather, whoever. Thank you. And I said, okay, what when you talk about F ratings in with regards to tornadoes, what is that? So okay, an F0 is a gale tornado, and it goes 40 to 72 miles an hour, sustained winds. It can damage chimneys. It can break off branches. F1 is a moderate tornado. It is 73 to 112 miles an hour, and it can peel off roofs. F2 is a significant tornado, 113 to 157 mile an hour. It can do considerable damage. It can actually start to shake houses and start to destroy the foundation of houses. Or the structure of houses. F3 is a severe tornado, 158 to 206 miles an hour. Roofs will come off. Trains and cars can be overturned. Incredible. F4, devastating tornado, 207 to 260 mile an hour. Well-constructed houses can be leveled. Cars can be thrown at distances like missiles. F5, incredible tornado. 261 mile an hour to 318 mile an hour. Frame of houses lifted off. Again, automobile-sized missiles. They can be thrown for over 100 meters. Even at this point, steel-reinforced concrete structure can start to become damaged. Now, what's the point of why I brought that up? Because you know what? What wind was it? Above 500 miles an hour, 1,000 miles an hour, I have no idea. But it could tear rocks off of a mountain. Now, I don't know if you've thought about that, but I have. That is incredible. That is absolutely incredible. And so, even though God was not in it, what was Elijah learning about God here? That he is omnipotent and all-powerful. He's able to take that which you cannot see, listen to me, and create such a force that it overcomes the earth. That's the God we serve. Nehemiah says this, "The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm. The clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and it dries up. He makes all rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the blossom of Lebanon fade. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, the world and all who is in it. Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and rocks are shattered before him. But he is not in the wind." But that doesn't mean that's not him. But he's not in it. Why? The next thing is the earthquake. The shaking of the earth, some test the quality of the foundation of our lives are built on. I have never been in an earthquake, but people tell me that when they're in it, or anybody here been in an earthquake? Noelle, not just a family earthquake, but a physical earthququake. What was that like? Yeah.
Because it was like only a minute or two.
Okay.
Then we found out later it was like this. Indiana sits on one of the biggest fault lines.
Okay, so Indiana sits on the biggest fault line. So what was that like for you? Did it actually shake your feet a little bit, or was
it? I was in bed, so it shook me. I'm bed at 9 in the morning.
We won't bring up that you were still in bed at 9 in the morning. That's fine. But yeah. I have heard people say that when it shakes, that it's like they everything that they believed in was all of a sudden just shooken up before them, and that they couldn't even keep their feet. They would fall down, and they couldn't keep their bearing in life. And so, it's amazing. Hebrews, the 25th verse says this. I still have it in my Bible, I think. 25th verse says this, "See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. They did not accept what they when they refused him who warned them on earth. How much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.' The words 'once more' indicates the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain." God is the God who is going to shake the physical world. And you know what? In some of our lives, even in this year, our physical life has been shook. Amen? Amen. You want a little truth in church today? Yeah, your life has been shook. Your life has been shook. But that is only to reveal the things that cannot be shaken. Do you have the Lord in your heart? Is there an unshaken faith in your heart right now? But for Elijah, the Lord was not in the earthquake. So the wind can blow things away. The earthquake can shake and destroy the foundations of this earth and what we're putting our trust in. And then finally, the fire. The fire has the ability to melt right before our eyes anything on earth that we put our trust in. Have you ever been amazed at how fast somebody can be taken out of worship? I have, as a pastor. As their sin, they make a stand on their sin. They're gone. It is the most amazing thing I have ever watched. Hurts my heart. But God's fire has one of two purposes. It either melts your sin away or it destroys you. You don't have a choice. Micah 1 says this in the third and fourth verse, "Look, the Lord is coming from his dwelling place. He comes down and treads on the heights of the earth. The mountains melt beneath him and the valleys split apart like wax before the fire, like water rushing down a slope." Bring fire. Holding on to worldly sin will bring fire down from the fire. But God wasn't in the fire. All these things reveal an aspect of God's character, and yet he was not found in them, even though he created them by his own power. So where was God? You see it there. Somebody say it to me. Where was God? In the gentle whisper. Gentle, listen to this. In my studies, I just thought this was in. Gentle is described as small, fine, and crushed. Something that was crushed and made small and fine to be useful. When I thought about this, I thought about coffee beans. Who likes coffee in here? Yes! Yes! Yeah. I didn't until 2013. I am now a fan. I won't go any farther than that. That is going too far, Andersma. But when you have a coffee bean, you crush it. Why? So that the coffee itself and the essence and the taste can be drawn out of it by hot water to bring forth the flavor. So that's the first word. The second is whisper. It's a voice made to be soft, to be heard, and to calm. It is the picture of a young mother in the middle of the night who brings calmness and reassurance to her child who has just had a bad dream and is in hysteria. She doesn't say, now, Felicia, get it together. You know, you had a dream. Get over it. No, she comes and she says, now, my child, I know that you're scared, but it was a dream, and I'm right here. I'm right here. God comes to Elijah gently, making himself smaller and fine and crushed so that Elijah could drink up the sweetness of relationship of God, and finds that in the midst of fear, God brings his presence, and he whispers calmness and reassurance to Elijah's heart. I think somebody needed to hear that today. If you remember, I said to you, even for all eternity, we'll never fully know God. Job reflects on that truth in the 26th chapter and the 14th verse. He said these words, and these are but the outer fringes of his work, meaning we can only see a little of what God is really up to. How faint the whisper we hear of him. This is the calm, sweet, tasting reassurance work of God that happens every day. Who then can understand the thunder of his power? Do you know God? You know, many miss the God of heaven and earth because they claim they cannot see his handiwork, or they claim because of some difficulty in their life that he must not care about them. And I have thought this at times. God, why don't you do something to show the world who you really are? Have you ever thought that? Why don't you do something to show the world who you really are?
He did. Us, Christians, we're the feet.
Have you been cheating, reading my lesson? Totally stole my thunder. He did. He created you. He created me. He saved you. He saved me for the purpose of showing his glory to the world. So the real question is, what are we doing in response to that? What are we doing in response? What has faith taken us to it? Before I end out this time, I want to hit that word crushed again, because that hit me. When I thought about something being crushed down, fine and small, what do you think about? I think about a God who 600, 700 years before Jesus Christ came, it was prophesied on him that he would be pierced for our transgressions, he'd be crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus came in the most obscure way imaginable, and many people tripped over him because that was not the way we thought you should save the world. But I want you to listen to a passage that's found in Isaiah. It's the 43rd chapter. And it is the first four verses. It says, listen to this. It says, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. Do you see it? Gentle, quiet voice. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. So many people have tripped over Jesus Christ because of the way he came and the way that he was crucified and the way that God chose to do it. But do you notice Elijah? What does he do? When the gentle whisper comes, what does he do? He, say it again, he what? Yeah, and does what? Yeah, and goes out. Why? Because he knew God. Not because he had gone to a theological school, not because he had riches and things were going well for him, not because of anything that the world had to give. He knew God. So when he heard the whisper, he went out. People, you live in a world that continues to make noise. Continues that your phones continue to make noise. Your TVs make noise. Your iPads make noise. Your computers make noise. Your hammer makes noise. Your company makes noise, building stuff. There's all kinds of noise in this world that is trying to stop you from hearing. That couldn't have been timed any better than it was. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There is noise that is happening every day. And there is a still small voice. There is a gentle whisper that has been crushed, that has been made small, that has been made fine, so that the sweetness of the Holy Spirit could come and could live inside your heart. And you could experience a life renewed, a life changed by him, a life that listens to his voice over any other voice. And in the midst of all the things that go on that continue to try to be death before you, he is saying, I am your life. And in you, in me, you will find true life.
And then we make noise.
And then we need to make noise. Oswald Chambers says this, and I found it interesting, because Elijah needed to remember who God was. And so he needed to see that he was all-powerful. He needed to see that he could shake the foundations. He needed to see that he could burn up anything in an instant. But as he came to him in a still small voice, he said to him, I remember you too. And I remember, you cannot take me fully. I'm coming to you in a way you can receive me. Oswald says this, we have a tendency to forget that a person's not only committed to Jesus Christ for salvation, but also committed and responsible and accountable to Jesus Christ's view of God, the world, and of sin, and of the devil. I can guarantee you that there are some, just like our culture, that has forgotten God. Listen to me, people of God. Even the church, some of the conversations that the churches are having today, what foolishness. Why are we caught up in the cultural conversation of an identity of a person? Or of an action of a person, or things that are going on, instead of being caught up in the salvation of Jesus Christ. I don't get that. Your church is committed to Jesus Christ. And we do not forget who he is. We do not forget what sin is. We do not forget what's going on in this world. And I commit to you, as long as I'm your pastor, I will continue to lead you to Jesus Christ every week, because I believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And that to get caught up, to sit there, people of God, and protect what you're doing as wrong in the eyes of God is the fact that you've forgotten who he is. Stop it. He's saying that to you today. And he's saying, stand up. And let the truth embrace you again. Let the truth stand you on the rock. And let your life be transformed and changed by the truth. You see, we don't have a moral problem in this country. We have a problem with the view of God. Because he is all morality. Once our view and understanding of God changes, I can guarantee you this, everything else will change also. Because our worldview changes. John 10 says that my sheep know my voice. And that my sheep run from a stranger's voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice. They'll only follow my voice. There's a lot of strange voices out there today saying a whole lot of things. What are they saying? They're saying what was wrong is now right. That's what it's saying. Back when I was a kid, the things that were morally wrong today are okay. And are passed by laws in this country. And people continue to live in them because they say, well, if the rules say it's okay, it must be okay. People of God, we don't follow the culture. We follow Jesus. We don't let the culture dictate what's true and what's not. Jesus has the right over my life to dictate what he wants. And what he says is true is true. Finite. I don't need to go anywhere else. I don't need to seek another source. It's right there. I had a pastor who once says that, Wayne, he says, you think that the Bible contains everything that you need? And I says, absolutely. Absolutely, I do. Everything for life and doctrine are in this word. And I'm sick and tired of people who say, no, there's other sources now. There's not. God's word is true. So do you recognize the voice of your Savior? If you hear it today, do not harden your heart like they did in the desert. But today, come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you've been running away and you've been protecting a sin, come back to him. Lay down the sin. It's not just opinions. It's God's word. It's God's word that says it's a sin. Lay it down. As we end our time in God's word today, the main point I pray you understand today is that, listen to me, it's not what you've learned in theological school. It's not what you think you know about God. It is the greatness of God that overcomes your fear. Big problem, small God. Big God, small problem. Do you believe that? Are you willing to live in? Are you willing to live through that? I'm given the privilege of walking with some people recently, and I'm watching them hold on to their sin. And I'm not quite ready to tell anybody about what I've gone through. I've been hurt by other people, and the fact that I've revealed the sin in my life, and they went around and turned around and told other people and mocked me about it. I get all that, but the greatness of God overcomes your fear. Is God greater than your sin? Is God greater than your circumstance? Is God greater than anything you're facing? Somebody once said to me, said, you know, if I say that, you know, I want change, but I'm not willing to do anything about it, then I'm kind of a hypocrite. And I agree with that statement, but you also have to know this. If you want change, it's not going to be because you're pulling up your big pants and doing it. It's because you believe in a great God who can overcome any situation, and your heart opens up in the midst of that, and you say, God, let me open my heart up. You've given me men. You've given me women. You've given me people to open my heart up to. Let me open it up so I reveal that my heart is opened up to you, and then walk through it. Don't trust the man. I'm not going to. I remember when I revealed some of my sin to a church, and a family in it heard about it, and they started to come against me. And they actually put it in the newspaper years ago. And Sue said to me one time, why in the world is this happening to us? And I said, honey, we got great accountability partners out in the world that are watching us very closely. Praise the Lord. But you know what, people? You can't determine to open your heart up because of what other people have done or what they will do. You have to open your heart up to Jesus Christ. You have to be would open their hearts up to stop hiding from each other, stop hiding from God, because that's what you're doing. And allow the power of the Holy Spirit to open you up. Man, that's the kind of church that's going to rock this world. That's the kind of church that people are going to say, you know, that's going to say, what is going on over there? Don't you realize that Joe Stanley is a lot different than Wayne Andersma? I don't know how the two of them get along. But they do. I don't get that. That's the Holy Spirit. Some of you have been so closed for years because you don't believe in the greatness of God. To overcome that fear, to open your heart up. And it's time. It's time. He's not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. He's not in the fire. He's in the gentle whisper. He loves you. Can you hear his voice today? Stand with me as we pray. Father, as we're journeying with Elijah, I just pray that, Lord, your Spirit is journeying and speaking to our hearts. We can be just like the Israelites, so cantankerous, so holding on to what we think is important, all out of fear, all out of something like we're going to lose control. There's a person in this room that doesn't realize that if they would face their sin today, that they would gain their family back again. They don't get it. They don't realize it. They're at a precipice right now to retain their whole family if they would just humbly come before you and stop protecting their life. God, you can do anything. And I just pray that, Father, that as you have come to us, crushed, fine, small, as Lord Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. God, teach us how to do that. Teach us, Father, how to hear that still small voice and to be willing to become insignificant so that your significance becomes greater in and amongst us. For that is the place of a human being on this earth. And so, Lord, I pray for these people and I pray for myself that we'll continue to allow the jaws of life to open our hearts up to you and to each other, and that you will gain greater and greater strength over our lives so that we become more and more open and more vulnerable. Paul said to the Colossians, he said, I am willing to expend myself and expend everything of myself. If I love you more, will you love me less? Father, it didn't have anything to do with what Paul was going to do. It had everything to do with what the Corinthians. Were they going to receive his love? Father, let us become people that open our hearts up because of the greatness of God in it, so that, Father, the glory of you can be seen by the world. We love you and we trust you for this. In the name of your Son, Jesus, and all God's people said.
Before we sing this next song, Wayne had asked me to share a bit of my testimony, but I'm not going to share it because it's very lengthy. But the thing that you said today about knowing that moment where you heard God's voice, I was actually thinking about the time that I was in college. It took me until college. I'd heard the stories growing up. I'd known the Bible. I'd known everything. But it wasn't until I was in college in the prayer chapel and I opened my Bible to Isaiah 43. And the very beginning of that chapter says that the one who's created you and formed you, he says, don't be afraid. I've summoned you. I've redeemed you. And when you pass through the waters, when you walk through the fire, you are mine. And God will always make a way. And on my heart recently has been all of our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan that are, from what I read recently, that the last of the church has been martyred for Christ. And I think about all of our problems in that perspective and how they went to be with their king in joy, and that on their hearts they knew, like, that they were the Lord's and that they were his, even till death. And so wherever you guys are at today, I just hope that you feel that family that Wayne and Sue have invited you to, and that, more importantly, God has made a way for you to be part of today, because that is greater than any testimony I could ever share, is that family.
You are here.
Moving in our
midst, I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place, I worship you, I worship you. You are here, Keeper, light in the dark. keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
John and Nicole, you are proof that God is working. Noelle, I said
it's okay.
I did.
It's okay. I get it all the time. So
do
I
you?
Just
you know, I kept telling the name over and over again, but I wanted
it's
to say
okay.
that.
I'm gonna get a new name someday.
Are you? Yes, you are gonna get a new name someday.
So.
But guys, you're proving that God is working. The fact that you were here today, and the songs that you sang, were exactly what God wanted for today. Thank you on behalf of this church. Thank you for serving Jesus. I think they'd want us to give Jesus a hand, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So has the greatness of God set you free from your fear? Has it? If it hasn't yet, today can be a great day for that. Go out there. He's working. He's working in the midst of us, and he's doing great things. Remember that. Go out and tell somebody about him. I'm reading the Jerusalem, Back to Jerusalem, about the Back to Jerusalem group. And so I wish that she'd get more excited about that. But they said this, one of the greatest networks of the churches in China that have over 10 million people in it didn't even start with the Bible. The only thing they knew was that at the great name of Jesus Christ, people could be changed. And so they started to tell people about this Jesus who could change their life. And they have been educated since, they've gotten Bible since, but 10 million people. All by the name of Jesus Christ. So you don't know too little. You probably know too much, and that's what's stopping you from sharing Christ. You've become too intelligent in your own mind. But it's time for us to become children before Jesus and share him with the world. Amen?
Amen.
So go out there. You're loved. Go out and tell somebody this week and give them Jesus.
Make some noise.
And make some noise.